Brunner advanced to a table in the corner of the room, resting his back against the wall. He casually dropped the sack containing the head of the thief upon the table, paying it no further attention. He motioned with his hand for Jürgen to sit at the other side of the table, then snapped his fingers. An ashen-faced barmaid walked toward the table, her steps reluctant, her body heaving with short, frightened gasps. The bounty hunter barely looked at the young woman as he snapped an order for a stein of beer. The barmaid cast a look at the peasant boy, then back at the bounty killer. "He can drink after I am paid," Brunner snapped, dismissing the woman. Leaning forward, the bounty hunter's cold blue eyes stared at the young boy. "So, you have a job for me?" There was nothing mocking in the killer's tone, only a deadly seriousness. "You should know that I don't come cheap." Jürgen reached into his tunic, pulling the coins from the inner pocket his mother had sewn above his heart. It held the combined wealth of the town's oppressed people. The boy reached toward the bounty hunter, but Brunner tapped the table instead of reaching for the boy's hand. Jürgen nodded and set the coins down next to the rough cloth sack. Brunner's gloved hand hovered over the coins, turning each of them over with a finger. Then he stared into the boy's eyes. "And what could be worth so much to you, I wonder?" the cold voice asked. A light gleamed in Jürgen's eyes. Was this man, this horrible killer, really considering helping them? He had been told that they could not trust to greed alone to dispose of their cruel tyrant, but also to the compassion of a noble heart, to the sense of justice that moves some men with no thought of reward. But Jürgen dared not hope that any such emotion stirred within the heart of this fearsome man.
"My village lies only a few days from here," Jürgen began. "It is called Elsterholz, and our lord was the Count Schlesser. But about 5 years ago a man came, the leader of some soldiers. Our lord hired them, for there was a rumor that wild tribes were on the march again. But the man had no intention of protecting the Count. He seized control. They killed the soldiers loyal to the Count. Then their leader hung our Count from the village gate and declared himself our lord. The Baron York."
Jürgen fairly spat the name. The bounty hunter leaned forward, his face inches from the peasant boy's. "Describe this York for me," Brunner hissed. As the boy recounted the visage of the grim tyrant, the steel head of the bounty hunter nodded in affirmation of each detail. "He wears a sword, does he not?" Brunner asked, interrupting the boy. "A nobleman's blade? A slender fang of steel with a hilt of gold fashioned in the shape of a dragon with outspread wings?" The boy nodded, amazed that he had so exactly described the Baron's sword. A moment of silence hung in the air. At last, Brunner nodded his head. "I will consider the commission you have offered me." Some of the hope drained from Jürgen's face.
"If the money is not enough, we can offer more,"
the boy hurried to explain.
"We have food and mead, and some of the girls in the village are very beautiful."
The boy's face dropped as he saw that Brunner's expression had not changed at all.
"And there is more. The Baron has all manner of treasures in his fort, gold from the dwarf mines, and silver and gems from the south."
Brunner snorted. Jürgen misunderstood the expression, thinking the imaginary wealth was still not enough to entice the hunter.
"The Baron has a hoard of a dragon in a secret chamber, from his days as a mercenary and adventurer. If you help us, the town elders will let you claim all that you can carry."
"I said that I would consider your offer," Brunner repeated, leaning back against the wall again. Jürgen reached forward to reclaim the coins, but Brunner's gloved hand interrupted him. "Leave those. They will help me in reaching a decision."
"But that is all the money we have,"
the boy exclaimed.
That is all the wealth we have been able to steal and keep hidden from the Baron's men.
Then I know that you won't be seeking to hire some other while I make my decision, unless you can find some fool who will work for unseen dragon gold. The bounty hunter said, Return to your village. You will have your answer in a fortnight. The boy rose from the table, slumped in defeat. As he walked away, he cast a last look at the bounty hunter. Brunner was drinking from the clay stein that had been brought to the table, his eyes staring at the other denizens of the tavern. The coins remained on the table, gleaming in the feeble light. The last hope dripped from Jürgen's body. At least the man in the alley had been an honest thief. It was dark when Jürgen slipped through the crack in the perimeter wall of Jorkveg. It was a burrow dug by the children of the village long ago to escape the notice of their parents and slink unseen into the woods to play their secret games. But now the hidden hole in the wall served a much more important role, and those who used it could no longer be properly called children. Jürgen made his way along the deserted, muddy lanes. His tattered clothes were slick with sweat and covered in the dust of the road. He stole cautiously to the flimsy plank that served as the door of the mud-walled hovel he shared with his parents and three siblings. He paused, listening to the sounds of soft sobbing coming from inside. The boy was certain that it was his mother's voice. A sudden sense of urgency filled Jürgen, and he pushed the plank aside. Jürgen saw his mother kneeling beside the cooking fire that dominated the main room of the hovel, stirring the contents of the iron pot. Her face was drenched in salty tears, their snail-like trails glistening in the flickering light. There was no sign of his brother and sisters, who should have been sleeping on their straw-lined pallets against the far wall. The boy could hear a stirring in the back room, but a thin blanket over the opening of the room obscured his view. The woman looked up as she heard her son enter. The look on her face was of utter horror. Her mouth opened to scream, to warn her son away, but another voice silenced her. Mother and son both looked to the opening of the back room. The blanket was pulled aside, but the man standing in the doorway was not Jürgen's father. Though wearing only a long white nightshirt, a sword was clasped in his hand.
"We missed you, Jürgen," he said in a low, mocking voice. "I understand that you have been far away and have much to tell."
Aldo stalked toward the stunned youth.
"I think the Baron will be most interested to hear what you have to say."
Albrecht York emerged from his stone wall beneath the timber fort. There was a contented smile spread across his cruel features. The wailing sobs of guilt, mixed with groans of pain, sounded from the cell he had left. They replaced the shrieks that had echoed through the halls for the last 2 hours. A burly Tylian appeared behind York, fastening a chain and lock to the wooden door. The bare-chested man then turned to his master, wiping the sweat from his brow with the back of his hairy hand.
"Get a little wine and some food," York said. "We'll have another go at him in a few hours."
York's smile curled into a vile leer.
"Just to be certain he told us the truth."
The torturer bowed and departed. The tyrant turned and faced the henchman who had waited outside the cell for his master's orders.
"Did he tell you anything?"
Aldo asked.
"We knew much of it from that idiot Geyer,"
York laughed. It did his wicked heart good to recall the peasant who had informed him of the plot. Purely out of loyalty, Geyer had claimed, though he seemed quite eager when York mentioned a reward. And York had been most generous, giving him 50 gold crowns for being such an altruistic and loyal man. Of course, Geyer had been a bit alarmed when the gold coins were brought to him on a wooden plate, as a meal. Poor man, it seemed that his eyes were bigger than his stomach, or at least his throat.
"But the boy did fill in some of the gaps," more so than his father or any of the others. It seems he found a man in Bresano willing to kill me. A bounty hunter, or so the rascal claimed.
Aldo's scarred features narrowed.
A bounty hunter? York nodded his head. An expert killer, according to the boy. Get some of the men together. Ride for Bresano and kill this scum. Bring his body back, so we can show this rabble what happens to those who oppose me.
The Tylian soldier bowed and turned to leave, when a nagging thought stirred in what passed for the man's conscience. He turned to his despotic leader.
What are you going to do with the boy? Hang him in the gibbet with his father?
York smiled with chilling excitement.
Dear me, no. He might be able to wiggle his way through the bars. No, I think he should have a spot of sport with my pets. It has been some time since they were fed.
The tyrant laughed at his own jest, then turned sternly to his henchmen.
I have my affairs to get in order, and you have your own to pursue. I suggest you go and find this man. The boy won't make much of a meal for the dogs.
That evening, 4 riders set out of the main gate of Yorkvag. Aldo had chosen his companions both for their martial prowess and their experience as cold and ruthless murderers. These were men who would not shrink from putting a dagger in a sleeping man's back or striking out with a crossbow bolt from the shadows. Each man bore an expression of cruel determination. Long years serving under their usurper lord had driven whatever compassion and rectitude they had from their souls. They had done far worse things under York's orders than murder an unarmed man in cold blood. One more crime would weigh no more heavily upon their already blackened hearts. Aldo's scarred features scanned each of his armed cutthroats.
Remember, he cautioned, we must bring the body back. The Baron wants an example made of this bounty hunter, and to let the villagers know that no one can oppose his rule.
The rider to Aldo's left bowed his head, the steel of his rounded kettle hat gleaming in the feeble light cast by Mansleeb and its darker sibling. But just as he raised his face, a spike of steel slammed through his nose, crunching through cartilage and bone. The soldier fell from his horse, clutching at his wound, an inarticulate bubbling gurgle throbbing from his face. Aldo shouted for his men to take cover, but even as he did so, a second crossbow bolt tore through the chest of the man to his right. The mercenary screamed, slumping down in his saddle, as his steed raced off into the darkened countryside, frightened by the sudden slaughter. The remaining soldier turned his horse about, making to ride back to Yorkvag. Aldo saw the bright flash of a black powder hackbutt exploding from the tree line, and he heard the loud crack of the report echoing. He watched as the bullet took the soldier's steed in the neck, dropping it instantly. The man was crushed beneath the animal's weight, pinned to the earth, and screaming piteously from above his crushed legs and pelvis. Aldo did not wait for another attack, but leapt from his saddle and dived into the brush. He landed hard, twisting his foot. He bit down on the pain and drew his sword, cursing as his horse raced away, bearing his crossbow on the back of its saddle. The man pinned beneath the dead horse was still screaming when Aldo heard hooves drawing near. The sound of hoofbeats stopped, then only the occasional rattle of chain links or the scuffing of an armored boot upon a loose stone indicated that someone was coming closer. Aldo watched as a dark figure cautiously advanced, stalking toward the wounded soldier with all the caution of a lone wolf on the hunt. The scar-faced Tylian gave a start when he saw the man, the blackened steel sallet helm and the dark Gromril breastplate. Somehow he had known that it would be him. Only the bounty hunter would have had cause to ambush them. Only he would have the skill to accomplish such a feat. Aldo had chosen his band of killers well, but he had not reckoned with facing an even more callous, cunning and ruthless adversary. The bounty hunter closed upon the wounded soldier, raising a small hand crossbow. he pointed it at the wounded man's head and silenced his screams of agony. There had not even been a second of hesitation, a moment to consider mercy, to pity the man he had broken with his gunshot. Aldo lifted himself from his hiding place, hoping to slink off into the night. At the sound of the rustling movement, the bounty hunter spun about, dropped his crossbow, and drew a black powder pistol from a holster across his belly in one fluid movement. There was another loud report, and the barrel of the pistol erupted into flame. Only one thing spared Aldo's life from the shot. His injured foot gave way beneath his own weight, causing him to topple just as the bounty hunter fired his weapon. Brunner did not hesitate to address the misaimed shot, holstering the pistol and pulling his fat-bladed falchion from its scabbard. Aldo lifted himself to meet the charge, with a dagger in his left hand and a longsword in his right. Brunner closed upon the Tylean with a sinister silence that unnerved Aldo more than any orc's brutal war howl. With the speed of a viper, the bounty hunter struck out with his heavy sword, the blade barely intercepted by Aldo's much lighter longsword. The bounty hunter strained, pushing the Tylean's sword to the side, exploiting the mercenary's weakened leg to offset the man's superior brawn. Aldo snarled, the scar on his face livid with anger. He sent his dagger-gripping hand forward toward the bounty hunter's vitals, but the gloved hand closed about his wrist, pushing the blade back and twisting the point of the dagger back at its wielder. Aldo felt his grip being turned and reasserted his strength, turning his hand around in the gloved grasp even as he sought to free his sword from the weight of Brunner's falchion. The two men jostled for position in the shadows, each struggling to subdue his foe. In the darkness, the dagger stabbed into flesh, and the dry gasp escaped the throat of a man who was clearly dying. The guards atop the gate of Yorkveg hailed the lone rider who made his way toward their post. It was still dark, but they could easily recognize the distinctive helmet and armor of Aldo. The mercenary sergeant led a second horse behind him, a body thrown across the saddle. The commander of the watch called out his congratulations on his successful and speedy hunt, and hastened down from the tower to examine Aldo's prize. One of the other guards followed the officer, sharing in the excitement of the moment. He only left one man to work the heavy counterbalance that would raise the timber gate.
"Didn't think to see you back so soon," the officer said, sparing only a brief glance at the mounted Tylean before hastening to the pack horse. "Are the others behind you, or did they go to Prezzano for a bit of rest?"
The officer laughed. There was little enough entertainment to be had in Yorkveg, and what little there was, the Baron hoarded it for himself. It took very little to get any of the men to take an unauthorized furlough to any of the neighboring settlements. The armored Tylean just nodded his head and began to dismount from the horse. The officer reached for the body slumped across the saddle. He lifted the head and stared at the face beneath the black visor of the Saleh helm. A deep gash spread from beneath the armored helm to the end of his cheek. It was a scar that the officer had seen many times before. Even as the soldier turned to confront the impostor, 6 inches of Tylean longsword were driven into his gut. The officer's cry of alarm emerged as a low gasp, and he slumped to his knees, pawing at the mud with his hands. The soldier who followed him down from the tower barely had time to see his officer fall before the impostor sent a throwing knife through his throat. The soldier fell onto his back, writhing in his death throes as blood bubbled beneath the fingers clasping his neck. Brunner dropped Aldo's sword into the mud and lifted the small crossbow he had tethered to his wrist with a leather lace cut from the mercenary's boot. The lone guard in the watchtower was reaching for the alarm bell when the small bolt struck him in the back. He shouted once, hands clutching at the dart, but was unable to reach it. He staggered for a moment, pain driving out thoughts of alerting his lord and master. Brunner calmly reloaded his weapon and sent a second bolt smashing into the man's face. This time, the shot was fatal, and the soldier pitched forward, his body hanging over the wooden railing of the tower, his steel helmet falling from his head and landing with a moist thud in the muddy mire below. Loading the weapon for the third time, the bounty hunter removed his own heavy falchion and its scabbard from the pack horse. He pushed Aldo's body into the mud and belted the weapon about his waist once again. Stopping to retrieve his black helmet from the dead man, Brunner attached that too to his belt, shifting it so that the helmet rested against the opposite hip from his sword. The bounty hunter cast a long look at the timber fort that rose above the village, nodded his head grimly, then stalked down the muddy path that wound its way between the peasant hovels and ended at the fort of their tyrannical ruler. Brunner had needed no time to consider the boy's offer. He had followed the peasant back to his home village, keeping behind, lest the boy should sight the armed killer on his trail. Then he had hidden himself in the woods, overlooking Yorkveg, waiting for an opportunity to gain access to the small village. Aldo and his pack of killers could have been no more timely, had a bounty hunter written ahead and requested an invitation. Albrecht York sat in his padded seat, his sadistic, grinning features illuminated by the flickering torches set about the small wooden arena. The man snapped his fingers, and the serving maid hurriedly refilled the iron-bound flagon on the short table beside his seat. Wine was well enough during the day, but York felt that something more substantial was in order to fend off the chill night air. The local brewed mead would serve such a purpose admirably. He had intended to wait for the morning before indulging in his favorite sport, but the peasant slattern his troops had brought to him had proven less than acceptable. If it were not for the fact that it would spoil his dogs to give them too much food, he might have added the little witch to the menu. Perhaps in a few weeks' time, when the dogs had worked up more of an appetite. York thought again about the stupid peasant rabble and their audacious plan. For such low-born worms, to think that they could actually match wits with a man who had attended a baron of the Empire, who had fought with the Reichsguard in his youth, who had managed to escape the grasp of the treacherous Viscount de Chagny, a feat few men could boast of it, was beyond absurd. York's subjects simply had to learn that they were not his people, they were his property. The tyrant spared another impatient look at the wooden gate at the far side of the arena. It was taking them quite some time to bring the boy. He might have to see about having one of his soldiers play with his dogs after this, to teach him not to keep his master waiting. York nodded to himself. Yes, that might indeed be a valuable and highly entertaining measure to maintain discipline. The girl at York's side suddenly gasped in alarm. York turned on her and slapped her with the back of his hand. The girl flinched from the blow, but as the despot recovered from the attack, he saw what had made her cry out. A tall, lean man in armor was standing on the top of the steps that led to the platform. A dark black sallet helm covered his head, exposing only the lower part of his face. He clutched a fat-bladed falcon sword in a gloved hand. The other hand held a second helmet as he tossed it forward. York recognized it as belonging to his henchman, Aldo.
"I'm afraid that tonight isn't going too well for you,"
an icy voice rasped from below the visored steel.
"First your killers get themselves killed, then someone changes your evening entertainment."
The bounty hunter took a step forward. Needing no further encouragement, the frightened serving girl darted past the armored killer and flew down the steps, disappearing into the night. York stood slowly, backing away. His eyes were wide with fear. He cast a glance toward the log gate in the arena below. Brunner followed the man's gaze.
"I'm afraid that I already met your men," the bounty hunter stated, his voice carrying all the warmth of an open grave. "I convinced them that the boy was a little too small for what you had in mind."
The bounty hunter let the point of his sword jab forward.
"It took a little effort to convince them, but not much."
York gripped the dragon hilt of his own sword, and the bounty hunter took another step forward, his icy eyes suddenly blazing into fiery life. The tyrant withered before the glare, hastily raising his hands into the air. For far too long, Albrecht York had been content to command the swords of others. For far too long, he had taken life in cold blood rather than hot. The warrior York had once been, the bold, scheming villain who had betrayed one throne and seized another, had become a petty, hedonistic reptile that now shivered before the threat of honest battle.
"Whatever they are paying you," he stammered, sweat cascading down his forehead. "I will triple it."
A low snarl roared from Brunner's chest as he sprung forward. York lifted his hands still higher even as he sank to his knees, trembling in terror. Brunner set the point of the falchion against the tyrant's belly. The man flinched from the cold metal. Brunner's free hand closed upon the buckle of the man's sword belt, unlatching the clasp, pulling the belt free. He held it in his hand with two fingers as the others worked loose the clasp of his own sword belt. The worn leather fell to the timber floor, and Brunner placed the other sword belt into its place with one hand.
"You like that sword?"
York muttered, fear cracking through his voice.
"It is yours. I want you to have it. My gift to you."
Brunner's eyes narrowed, and he pressed the point of the falchion a bit deeper so that it intended the flesh of the usurper's belly.
"Anything you want," York squealed. "You can be the Baron. Just let me live." "The word of some men can't be bought,"
the bounty hunter hissed, his voice dripping venom. The bounty hunter clasped York's shoulder, and with a savage push, plunged the falchion through the tyrant's belly, releasing it as York slipped away. The man stumbled on his feet, with 3 inches of the heavy sword's blade sticking from his back. The man stared at Brunner for a long moment, but the bounty hunter's steel-tipped boot kicked the man backwards so that he broke through the low wooden railing onto the muddy floor of the arena. The bounty hunter looked down. Behind the gate, beneath the platform, York's starving pets clawed at the wood, driving into a frenzy by the smell of their master's blood. Brunner turned his gaze to the dying York as he forced himself to a sitting position. The fallen tyrant bore a questioning gaze. Blood bubbled from his mouth as he tried to speak.
How much did they pay you?"
Brunner reached into his belt and threw several small objects to the muddy floor of the arena. York's eyes focused on the 3 silver coins and the clutter of copper groats.
"Everything," an icy voice replied.
His hand now rested on the dragon-shaped hilt of the von Drakenberg blade. York was still staring at the coins, beyond comprehension, when Brunner's other hand pulled down on the rope, and 2 lean, slavering shapes lunged from the darkness. The 2 gaunt hounds circled their master, fangs bared, muzzles twisted into silent snarls. York raised a trembling arm to ward off the huge beast that snapped at his neck. Its fangs buried themselves deep into the meat of his arm, worrying the limb away from his body and leaving the throat exposed for the other dog. The 2nd hound was quick to seize the opening, hot breath panting from its excited, eager lungs. York shrieked as the animal's jaws closed upon his windpipe and crunched his neck as though it were an old soup bone. Like the bounty hunter, the dogs had taken many lives, but never had they savored a kill for so long, or so well.